Hello, Fellowship at Grace. We are entering into question number 22 and 23 of Lord's Day 7. And we're entering into the part of the catechism where it, line by line, starts taking apart the Apostles' Creed. And to be more specific, that's going to be the next 36 or so questions are going to be born out of the Apostles' Creed. So the Heidelberg Catechism is filled with a lot of questions coming from this creed that we're going to get real acquainted with over these next many weeks. So basically starting at Lord's Day 7, question 22, going all the way to Lord's Day 22, question 58, is all about the Apostles' Creed. All right, so let's finish out question 22. And remember, we're coming off of the question of what is true faith. And so question number 22 moves us into the question of what then must a Christian believe? What then must a Christian believe? Question 22. Answer. All that is promised us in the gospel, a summary of which is taught us in the articles of our universal and undisputed Christian faith. So that's a really relevant question. What must a Christian believe? And Jude tells us in his short letter, Jude 3, Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. So Jude's making a mention here of a common salvation, a salvation that they all believe in. And he then says, since there are people trying to upend that, then you need to contend earnestly for that faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. And so there is a body of truth that you must believe. And in more than that, as Judas, his point here is, you must contend earnestly for that. And so question 22 is, what must we believe? What must a Christian believe? And so the catechism, first of all, says, you know, the gospel that is taught to us in the gospel. And then the catechism goes on to say, in a summary of what is taught us in the articles of our universal and undisputed Christian faith. So the Christian must believe the gospel. And so the next question is, well, what are these articles the catechism is talking about here? And that is question 23. Question 23 says, what are these articles? Answer. And here's the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. And we'll talk more about that phrase when we get to it. It goes on. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That's the articles. That's what the catechism is talking about. And that's the Apostles' Creed. Now, as we go through this over these next many weeks, you'll come and see that this is by no means all that needs to be believed to be considered a Christian. But you'd be hard-pressed to find a better starting point of what a Christian does believe. Pastor Kevin DeYoung says, But if you are looking for a succinct summary of the essentials of the faith, there is no better starting point than the Apostles' Creed. The Christian faith, if it is to be Christian in any meaningful historic sense of the term, cannot contain less than the Apostles' Creed. In a world where theology is often ignored and boundary setting is abhorred, we must not forget that there are things a Christian must believe. End quote. Dr. Muller says this in his recent book that he titled The Apostles' Creed. He, quote, says, All Christians believe more than is contained in the Apostles' Creed, but none can believe less. So what's the history behind this historic and well-known creed? So basically, to start right at the beginning, the Apostles' Creed was not written by the apostles. There was a rumor started long ago that possibly each apostle wrote a certain line to the creed, and that's how it was formulated with its name. But there's nothing to substantiate that claim. The Apostles' Creed first started appearing, sections of it, around 140 AD, but it wasn't full yet. And then in the 4th century, some more got added to it. Some say that's when it was finished. So others say, no, it was the 7th century when it got finally completed. The word apostle there comes from where the teaching comes from. And that's implicitly or explicitly words and sentences out of this would you be able to pull right out, of course, from Scripture and right out of from where the apostles wrote. The word creed, meaning I believe. Credo means I believe. And so creeds and confessions, they normally find their origin in fighting heresy. And someone will believe something heretical, but all the people that disagree with that certain thing that's heretical can't quite put their finger on why they disagree with it. And so they'll get together over days or weeks or months or years, and they'll formulate a response to that heretical viewpoint. And they end up saying, this is what we believe. This is what the church believes. And that is normally how the birth of catechisms and confessions and creeds find their origin. And so creeds represent the fighting, the contending for the faith, as Jude was telling us, you know, that truth handed down to the saints has to be contended for. And this is the effort, and that effort is then meant to stand the test of time. And that is by articulating a creed or defense, and the creed showing here's what we really believe, and you got to stimulate the right teaching, and creeds and confessions and catechisms, of course, do that. And so the church has to write this down of what it believes so that later generations who come across one of Satan's old tricks can fight against a heresy that was defended against biblically 500 or 1,000 years ago. Because Satan, of course, doesn't have new tricks. He just has old ones, and they're repackaged and given out to wandering sheep so that for consumption. But one of the best things that fight against Satan's tricks is creeds and statements of we believe this, we believe that. And but not everyone is a big fan of creeds. Or maybe they just grew up in a tradition that does not hold them in much esteem. And that would be me personally. I grew up in a tradition to where I never even heard of the words Apostles' Creed until I went to a Roman Catholic church service where they declared it out loud together. And I remember thinking to myself about how weird that was that all of a sudden all these people would start chanting the same words together, and it was from something that wasn't even Scripture and verse. You know, I'm thinking all the things to chant here, and you're going to chant something that's not even in the Bible. But I don't think, you know, I'm the only one with that experience. I know of other people that just never even heard of the Apostles' Creed, but once they hear it or read it, then they're like, yeah, I believe that. There are many who hold to the belief that reciting creeds or chanting words is too traditional or too stiff. And on top of that, you know, what about the commitment to, you know, the sole authority of Scripture? So when you start bringing in other documents and other creeds that are not directly out of Scripture, it starts putting people in a little bit of attention, and they start trying to debate on, well, what's really our authority? And maybe you've heard it said that no creed but the Bible, or no creed but Jesus. But what's funny about, you know, those statements is that they are creeds in themselves. You're basically saying, I believe there's no creed but the Bible, or I believe there's no creed but Jesus. And that is a creed. That very statement is a creed confession. You're saying, I believe this, or I believe that. And so it's not a very good creed, but it is a creed nonetheless. Or others that are just standoffish to doctrine or truth claims would not hold the Apostles' Creed in high esteem. They would not appreciate creeds and confessions because creeds and truth claims divide, and doctrine divides. And as we will see in these many weeks, we're going to see a lot of doctrine in this as the Catechism breaks it apart for us. And so doctrine divides, and some don't want that. They don't want division. Some don't want the truth. They would rather have unity instead of truth. But in the end, it's of course not really unity at all if it's not founded on truth. So there's a lot of people who would not be a fan of creeds and confessions. But I hope that we would see over these many weeks that this Apostles' Creed is a creed to be cherished and to be remembered and to be held tightly or close to you, that we wouldn't forget it, because for the many centuries, this creed has been a historic landmark for the church. There's been much written about it, much more that I need to study myself on it. And I hope that we can take this journey together to learn more about this creed inside of the Heidelberg Catechism. Another thing real quick before we end is it's important to remember that creeds are not authoritative. They are not sufficient, but they are a treasure to the church that we just can't simply give a nod at. That we must know the history behind it, the importance of it, and what it's actually saying, and why the church formulated it to begin with 1500 years ago. And so our belief, of course, is not just founded in Jesus' 33 years of ministry here on earth. That our Christian faith finds its foundation in a promise that was given at the garden and works its way all the way up to even now in 2020. That our Christian faith is not in some little tight 33 years, but it's in the grand scheme of from the garden to now, and however long God leaves us here on this earth. That's Christian history, and the Apostles' Creed finds itself right in the middle of that. So it will do us harm if we don't learn history, Christian history. And so next week we will finish this introduction of the Apostles' Creed by looking at the importance of it, by seeing how it is so countercultural in our day to really take its truth claims and dig them through and see what's on the other side of them. And then all the different doctrines that are in this creed that we will look into over these next many weeks. But until then, God bless.